Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
On a very special Thursday here in New York City. It's trade deadline Thursday with the deadline approaching in 4 hours. And we are also live from Giants Camp, our annual retreat to talk to all the big names at Giant Camp. We got a good list today. Malik Nabers will join us. Jackson Dart will join us. Joe Shane will join us. Abdul Carter will join us. Tiki Barber's Man Crush Cam Scataboo will join us. So there will be a lot of football throughout the day and a lot of baseball because today is the trade deadline day. The Yankees are currently playing. They're on the AM side if you want to check them out. They are currently destroying the Tampa Bay Rays. They lead 7-0. So the offense is exploded. It's included a home run by Giancarlo Stanton, a home run by Ben Rice. So the good news is the Yankees are winning. The good news is the Yankees may put together a winning streak. The bad news currently is Brian Cashman hasn't quite gone to town. Antique, we've got 4 more hours, and we'll get to the Mets in just 2 more minutes as well.
Right.
But so far, I think the Yankee fan, while enjoying beating the Rays 7-0, is looking around baseball and saying, hey, Cash, what's up with that?
Well, it doesn't feel like anything is going to happen because it feels like the Yankees are more worried about their internal problems than they are about adding names that will fix some of their issues that have been going on for the last couple of weeks. And I mean, I can't tell you how frustrating last night was, especially because Anthony Volpe is the most loved, hated player, I think, in New York right now because of how bad he is with in the field, but how great he seems to be and clutch
with his
bat as of late. But you see it over and over and over again. It's just my mind is just keeps going back to what we talked about earlier this week about Aaron Boone allowing these things to happen because he doesn't enforce accountability. He doesn't say that it's wrong. And so when you continually make mistakes, and it's everybody. It's not just Anthony Volpe. It's everybody. Austin Wells forgetting there's two outs in the ninth inning.
And that's a bad one.
Wandering off.
Yep.
It's okay to make stupid mistakes over and over and over again, you never correct them, right? The only way you realize that I need to be aware, I need to have a higher baseball IQ, is if you get reamed sometimes. And I don't think they do. And so they just sit there and say, oh, it's 162. Yeah, these things aren't going to happen. They're good players. Of course they're good players. They wouldn't be in Major League Baseball if they weren't good players. But right now, it feels like there's a lack of accountability on this team, and it starts at the top.
I
can't blame anybody because I don't want to individually blame all these guys.
Yeah.
To me, this is a leadership thing.
It's
frustrating as hell to watch. Luckily, they won last night, so you went to bed like, okay, at least they won. At least they're going to at least get a split with the Tampa Bay Rays. Now it feels like they're going to take 3 out of 4.
Well, they better. Up 7-0.
It was so frustrating and maddening last night.
I feel your pain, and I feel your frustration.
So forget the trade deadline. I don't give a crap. I want this team to get right now.
But the problem is everything you said is so spot on and accurate. But none of that is going to change before 6 o'clock today. They're not trading for a new manager.
They're not trading anything. They're not doing anything.
Well, no, I actually disagree with that.
How? How are they doing?
I think they're going to add a relief pitcher. Now, you can argue with me that that's not enough because all those points you made, fair points, won't be fixed at the trade deadline.
Like, no, they're not. I don't think there's anything to fix except for themselves.
No. They need to improve their bullpen and their rotation.
Right.
You don't think they need improvements?
They believe in Luis Gil when he comes back, and he will be back at some point. It will be their trade deadline acquisition.
Yeah, but are you defending this right now? Are you saying that's enough?
No, I'm not. But
that's not enough.
I'm more annoyed with how the Yankees are playing than I am annoyed that Brian Cashman hasn't gone to town.
Oh, I get that.
It's because this – you look at their team. They're a good team.
Yes.
They have talent. They have players who are supposed to be thriving and doing things in clutch situations, and they're just not. And it's not even that they're failing in clutch situations. They're failing in routine situations.
No, they're doing stupid things. I mean, you're right about that.
So how do you keep doing stupid things? How do different people do stupid things over and over and over again? It's a lack of accountability.
Yeah.
And I can't say it any more clearer than that.
Well, I thought Austin Wells last night held himself accountable because he's the one who said, I'm an idiot, basically, after the game. I get it because, and we talked about this yesterday, it almost feels like those issues that pop up all the time with the Yankees and the Mets will eventually be their demise. Mm-hmm. So it's very tough to argue that stupid baseball or defensive miscues won't ultimately be their demise. But those things are not being fixed in the next 4 hours.
Right.
And I do think there are things Brian Cashman does need to fix, even if it's not the grandiose problem that they have.
Yes.
Like, here's the thing, and this is what makes this deadline a little complicated. Every 5 minutes, we're getting refreshers on bullpen arms being traded. Some elite. And we'll get into what the Mets did even after we signed off the air in just a little bit.
Yep.
We even saw Mason Miller, a young reliever who throws 150,000 miles per hour, get traded to San Diego. Relievers are being moved, and the Yankees are going to get one. I'll tell you that right now at 206. The Yankees are getting a reliever. Is it going to be the sexiest reliever? I can't tell you that. Is it going to be David Bednar, who they're linked to right now? I don't know. But they will, I guarantee it, get a reliever today to improve their bullpen, and that's a good thing. I don't think they're getting a starter because I look around at this trade deadline. What starters have been moved?
None.
And that. So I understand the Yankee fan who calls us up today, and we will hear from you throughout this beautiful rain-soaked Thursday afternoon at 888-808-1019, who say, Ev, Teague, they got to add a starter. I don't disagree with you, but what starters are being moved? Let's look at the starter that was moved. Shane Bieber was traded today.
Yeah.
And he was traded to the Toronto Blue Jays, a division rival, and the Blue Jays gave up a pretty good amount.
Yes.
Would you have traded for Shane Bieber?
No.
You say no. Why? Because he's coming off Tommy John and that's a pitch this season?
Yeah, exactly.
Too much risk?
It's a lot of risk.
Yeah. I think the appeal of Bieber to me is next year.
Of course.
And maybe this year.
But that's not what the Yankees' mindset should be or has ever been.
I agree. So just to start, you're okay with the Yankees not acquiring Shane Bieber?
I am perfectly okay.
So then which starting pitcher that has been moved should they have gotten for those that think it's their biggest need? I technically don't get angry when guys aren't traded and say we should have gotten him. Well, he wasn't traded. What am I angry at?
Right.
Sandy Alcantara hasn't been traded yet. When he's traded, I'll get angry if he's not on my team or your team. So I think this is a complicated trade deadline because there haven't been a lot of starters moved. The Yankees could use a starter. They could also use bullpen help. I am convinced they'll get bullpen help at some point in the next 4 hours. But I think what also complicates this is Brian Cashman's own words.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we're going to go to town. Well, there is one GM in this town who's gone to town, and it ain't Brian Cashman. I would say David Stearns has gone to town with the aggressiveness in fixing his bullpen. But before we get to Stearns and the Mets, I think those words, Teague, are kind of pissing Yankee fans off.
What, to go to town?
Yes, because they haven't done it yet.
I guess so because it's trade deadline day. It's the 31st of July, and so that's what we're thinking about. But honestly, it's not – to me, it's not – that's less important because what I've seen so consistently frustrates me.
So the deadline thing isn't even – it's not
until,
your issue.
Until they do something,
I gotcha.
I'm just going to sit there and say Brian Cashman lied to us. That's all I can do.
Right.
Until they do something or don't, that's all I can do. And what I can – look at and complain about is what I see every single day. If it's one day or a week, fine. It's been going on for a month and a half, right? This lack of baseball IQ, this lack of playing smart, this lack of not doing the routine. And to me, it's accountability. It always comes down to that. Because if you're not held accountable, you don't think you're doing anything wrong. You can tell yourself, like Anthony Volpe, I'm just going to get ready for tomorrow and go, you know, 162. Right? Shut the hell up, dude. Right? Accept that you were wrong. And I appreciate Austin Wells saying it was boneheaded instead of saying, you know, those things happen sometimes in baseball. No, they don't. They don't.
That does not happen.
Especially when it's a tie game.
Yeah.
And you represent the winning run.
What Austin Wells did last night in the Yankee game is worse than all the errors Anthony Volpe's making.
Agreed.
Anthony Volpe's making –
you walk off the base as the winning run
right
in the ninth inning.
But look, I don't want to say I forgive him. I kind of do forgive him.
No, you forgive him because they won.
Yes, that is true.
They won.
And he died on the sword after the game.
Right.
Like, if I do something stupid on the radio with you, mm-hmm. and then after the show, I'm like, boy, Teak, I was so wrong about that. Are you going to beat me up forever about it? Or are you going to say, you know what, Evan died on the sword?
You apologize.
By the way, I got to play some audio for you. For those that heard it last night, maybe you heard it, but you didn't register it in your head. Michael Kay put poor Austin Wells in a body bag after that play. Connor, here, I think you have the audio. Here is the audio. Last night, Austin Wells mistakenly is off second base because he's got his head up his ass. And listen to Yankee broadcaster Michael Kay decide, you know what I'm going to do to Austin Wells? I'm going to stick him in a body bag. Take a listen.
Did he think that was a third out? Oh, my goodness. He had to think that was a third out.
Yes.
Oh, unforgivable.
Unforgivable.
True.
Unforgivable.
Now it's forgivable because they came back and won in the 11th.
Tiki.
It'll be a footnote. Oh, you remember that time Austin Wells was an idiot and almost lost the Yankees the game? But they won.
Let me tell you something.
So at the end of the day, you won. Who cares?
No, it's not even that. Unforgivable is such a strong term that, like, if I went home tonight and caught my wife sleeping with bad Tiki, that's unforgivable. That's the extreme I'm literally going to, because unforgivable is don't ever talk to me again.
Right.
Unforgivable is DFA his ass, he's gone. It was an egregious mistake, we all know.
Yes.
But unforgivable.
I mean, it's kind of strong.
I know. But I almost fell out of my chair because, look, I am an IBO. I understand that. A, it was a horrific move by Wells. But then B, I mean, he just chopped his head off. Unforgivable. Sean, what are they going to do with the deadline? And are you pissed off right now at Brian Cashman because we have 4 hours and he's sitting on his tuchus?
It's so weird. I'm not pissed off. I'm more just accepting the disappointment that is another trade deadline where we know what's coming. Here's Luis Hill. He's as good as a trade deadline acquisition. So I'm so beyond pissed off that now I just accept that this is what the Yankees do and they operate.
Why do you think this is? You think teams don't want to deal with the Yankees? Or they don't want to make deals with the Yankees?
I think there's a certain Yankee tax, but here's my frustration. I think it's very convoluted. All right, I understand there are certain prospects you don't want to give up.
Of course.
Jason Dominguez was once one of those prospects. You have spent last year not letting him play for Verdugo, this year making sure he platoons at every turn. If that is what you're going to do, hold on to prospects. Spencer Jones better come up here and play 150 games next year. You're not playing half the time. When George Lombard is ready halfway through next year, find a spot for him, be ready. If you're not willing to part with these guys, then the trade-off better be okay. They just freaking play.
Right. Let's go through this. So far, it's been bullpen arms. It has not been starters. Are you pissed off they didn't trade for Mason Miller?
No. No, because I have to see him in a big spot before I'm willing to
do that. I agree with that. Like,
Mason Miller's not the one. Duran, I would have thought about.
Okay, all right, good. I'm glad you used him as an example. And look, after we signed off the air yesterday, that's when the Philadelphia Phillies, as a Met fan, my archest of rivals, got him. And I don't know if you guys remember me saying this on the air. I said, all I want from Duran is for him not to be traded to the Phillies.
Right.
He gets traded to the Phillies. You can imagine my mood.
Right.
Now I've got to be analytical. I have to be honest. And we have to do this sometimes on Sports Talk Radio. I saw what they gave up. They gave up a lot. They gave up two top 100 prospects. Were you, as a Yankee fan, prepared? And I know some fans out there don't care about prospects, and that's fine. But do you think that Brian Cashman was ready? And would you have been ready to give up the equivalent of what the Phillies gave up to get him? Because I'm telling you, if you look at rankings just as a guide, you're talking about Spencer Jones and Cam Schlittler.
Mm-hmm.
That's the trade. That's the equivalent, literally. I'm not making this up. Just top 100 rankings. Right. I'm being fair.
The three and four guys in the Philly system.
Yes. Were you willing to do that?
For a guy under control, I probably would be.
Fair enough. As long as you know that's what the price tag was going to be, it was going to be very high. Like, I'll ask Lugie, we're Met fans. I thought the Mets had a great day yesterday.
Yeah.
Would you have been willing to give up Jonah Tong and Ronnie Mauricio?
No.
Yondurin?
Absolutely not.
Well, there you go. And that's my point. It costs a lot. And once you put names to it, you realize, wow, I don't know if I really want to do that.
But if it helps them win this year, if the Phillies win the World Series this year, it's going to be worth it.
Of course it is.
And so that's their risk. That's the risk.
Would you have done that, T?
No, of course not.
Okay.
But
so I'm saying.
But that's what the Phillies did. That was their calculus.
I get why the Phillies did it. I think the Phillies are in a very different spot than both the Yankees and the Mets. I'll tell you why. The New York Yankees, despite last night, have a closer. I like your closer. The New York Mets have a closer. Mm-hmm. The Phillies don't. The Phillies, I think, were more desperate to make that trade. But I think you can look at the others. You can even look at the guys the Mets got, Ryan Helsley and Tyler Rogers.
Now you have two.
Right. I love what the Mets did, and they gave up prospects. They didn't give up top 100 prospects.
Right.
So I think what's going on right now, because I'm sorry to get long-winded to your answer, I don't think there's a Yankee tax. I think right now Brian Cashman has been unwilling to match the price tag of some of these relievers.
Right.
I think eventually he will. And if I had to guess right now, put myself out there, I would assume David Bednar will be the guy just because – Brian Cashman's he's going to eventually realize, all right, musical chairs going on. Mm-hmm. I don't have a reliever. Let me go get one.
Right.
And would you be happy if they end up with David Bednar?
Yes, I would be. I think that's a perfect guy. If you're not giving up a Spencer Jones for a Bednar, I think that's a perfect fit for the Yankee bullpen right now because I don't trust anybody.
No, I get that. I get that. And the Yankees right now had a 7-0 lead that's now 7-4.
Yeah.
Because Marcus Stroman, who was cruising for their first three innings, in fact, through three innings he had a no-hitter, and I thought to myself, oh, my God, we're going to be completing with a split-signal double no-hitter.
You didn't have to worry about that.
And then he gave up five hits, and it's 7-4. Either way, if you want to check in on the Yankee game, they're on the 660 side. We're going to be here all day on the FM side. We'll obviously keep you posted about that and the trade deadline as far as the Mets are concerned. So we were on the air for the Tyler Rogers yep. trade. My instant reaction was I was excited about the reliever. I was surprised how much they gave up.
Mm-hmm.
But never once did I say it was too much. Correct, Teak?
Right, of course. It wasn't.
You were surprised that you didn't say you wouldn't have done it.
I was surprised. So I stand by the fact it was a lot. But the New York Mets are trying to win.
Yeah.
The New York Mets are not messing around.
That's right, because now they've made three relieving moves and yep. one another closer, as we just were alluding to a little bit earlier. But they've gotten rid of seven, or is it eight, prospects?
Are we including Gregory Soto in this? Because I've kind of forgotten now about that.
Yeah, including Soto.
Yeah, so yesterday they gave up three prospects, one top 10 prospect in Jesus Baez
yes.
for Ryan Helsley.
Who was on second base at the time he got traded.
I know.
No, got taken terrible. Off the base path.
They couldn't mess around.
That's
God
terrible.
Forbid the guy pulls a hamstring. But what the Mets did is they got two really good relievers. Both are free agents at the end of the year. Like, that's part of the cost here.
Right.
The reason why Duran costs a lot, the reason why Bednar would cost a lot, is because they're under team control for another year. So what David Stearns has done here is he has said, look, I'm going to take middling prospects, not my top prospects, and I'm going to go out and get pretty damn good rentals.
Yep.
And now the Mets have formed, and obviously these guys have to pitch. What I feel good about with Helsley and Rogers is they've got solid resumes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have been consistent throughout their major league careers. I always talk about relievers being so risky. Those guys' track records say they're not that risky.
And that's exactly what we thought David Stearns would do. Go shore up the back of your bullpen. And that's exactly what he did.
I got to be honest.
The expectation, he met the expectation.
I think he exceeded it because I didn't think he would give up as much as he did for as good a relievers as he did. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to do the lottery ticket game again.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it. And now I look at the Met bullpen on paper, and I say, holy crap, this thing is loaded. And it's not just loaded based on having good arms. They have unique arms. They have guys who are different.
Right,
guys,
Submariner.
Yeah, I mean, I love that.
Right.
Thinking back to my childhood, or even Chad Bradford in 2006.
And he's a twin.
Yeah.
That's even better.
That's the part you love.
Exactly.
The question around the Mets, because I think most Met fans, not all, agree that they love what they did yesterday. The question over their next 4 hours is, what else? Is there a center fielder on the horizon? One of the guys that they were interested in was Harrison Bader. I thought he made a lot of sense. He's a Philly.
Mm-hmm.
So this arms war going on between the Mets and the Phillies continues to be hot and heavy. It doesn't sound like Luis Robert Jr. is going to happen. Nothing's dead until after 6 o'clock. But I asked the Met fans, are you pleased with what David has done? And what else do you need? For the Yankee fan, where's your frustration level as you try to hold on and win this game against the Rays? So we got a lot of baseball to get to, and we also have a ton of football because we are at Giants camp. Malik Nabers will join us right around 3 o'clock. Same thing with Cam Scataboo. Abdul Carter will join us later in the show. And let me tell you something. The love affair is on between Sean and this guy, Jackson Dart, and his beautiful, curly, oily hair.
Oh.
He'll be on the program, and Joe Shane answers the question, are you on the hot seat, Joe? He'll join us later as well. So busy day, trade deadline, Giants, we're on top of everything. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. We are live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Thursday here in the state of New Jersey, because we're in New Jersey today here at Giants camp. We got a lot of Giant guests who will join us throughout the show, and we'll also keep you posted on the MLB trade deadline. The Yankees are in action on the AM side, currently leading 7-4, trying to play through the raindrops, or at least get this game to be official before they stop it and have a long rain delay, because there are storms brewing here through the tri-state area. But as of right now, the New York Yankees have been quiet on this trade deadline Thursday. Doesn't mean they haven't done anything, because obviously they did acquire Ryan McMahon last week, Ahmed Rosario last week, and even Austin Slater, though he is a fourth outfielder, yesterday. But in terms of bullpen help or any kind of pitching help, the Yankees have been quiet. The Mets, of course, last night added Ryan Helsley. They also added Tyler Rogers. They are still connected to adding a center fielder and possibly a starting pitcher. So we will keep you covered on it all throughout the day. The deadline is 6 o'clock tonight. Now let's get to your calls. Met fans, Yankee fans, the mood as we sit here 3.5 hours before the deadline. 888-808-1019 is the number. We will kick it off with Joe, who is calling from Mineola. Good afternoon today, Joe.
Hey, good afternoon, Evan and Tiki. Yeah, I just wanted to say I really don't think the Yankees should go all in this year. I know you got names out there like Kwan and Bednar, but like, is that really going to put them over the top and make some noise in the postseason? This team needs, you know, at least one or two starting pitchers, a reliever, and I just don't know who else is out there for them to make those moves that they can actually make some noise in the postseason this year.
Well, where I would disagree with you, Joe, and we appreciate the call, is even though the Yankees will have needs after this deadline passes, look at the rest of the American League. You're right. Telling me that they can't make a run in this league? If you add David Bednar, which helps you for next year too, but I'm not even getting into that, improves this current bullpen, despite how flawed the Yankees are, and despite all the things even Tiki laid out, you don't think they can beat the Blue Jays in a best-of-five series? You don't think they could beat the Tigers in a best-of-seven series? So while they may not go into the postseason as the team to beat they were a year ago, I think, yeah, any addition would help this team.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. But I think more importantly, this team needs to start playing more consistently, living up to the expectation of all their individual talents. And it's just it hasn't been that way consistently enough. And so that's what's more frustrating to me. The trade deadline stuff, you're right. I mean, look, Ryan McMahon was a good acquisition to play third base. I was trying to find his statistics since he's been here. It's only a few games. But
He's hit.
He hit the game. He hit the game-winning RBI last night, the walk-off RBI. That scored Jazz and, you know, won that game despite some of the issues that happened at the end of it.
He made an error, too, though. I don't think that was on him. The weather, it was slippery.
Right.
Just saying. It was just a little slippery. So, yes, but you still need to get better.
Right. Sean like almost that. Punched me over
what,
here.
What happened?
Anthony Volpe actually completed a double play throw.
How about that?
First time since April, so we're very excited.
First time since
April. But it is an official game now with the rain.
That is good. So if the rains open up at Yankee Stadium and they want to stop it, you could have what I like to call a relaxed rain delay if you're a Yankee fan. Mm-hmm. It's like a win-win. If it stops, great, the rain stops. Let's finish this game out. If it doesn't stop, it's an official game and you win.
Right.
Now, for the record, Teak, and I have said this my entire life, this may be the first time I'm doing this rant with you. I did it many times with Joe. He would roll his eyes occasionally.
Yes, you don't like little league wins?
I don't like official game victories.
Take a lap, we'll take them.
No, I am not saying you shouldn't take them.
Hey, Evan.
I'm saying I hate them.
Why?
I think they're grossly unfair. Can I tell you a story? It'll be really quick.
Okay.
Many years ago, I was living in Washington, D.C., and I met my dad in Philadelphia to see a Phillies-Marlins game. Mm-hmm. True story.
Why?
That's right. Why not?
Because it's Phillies-Marlins.
He had great seats at the Vet.
Okay. Oh, whatever. Okay.
Is there such a thing?
Yeah, we were first row off the dugout.
So the Vet?
Yeah, that's right. I think it was like the last year the Vet existed. It was very the end of the Vet's run. So the Phillies played the Marlins, and the Phillies were losing, I think, 1-0 after 5. And then the rains came, and the game was official, and they lost. They missed the playoffs by one game.
Oh.
And I don't even like the Phillies, but I remember saying to my dad at the end of the year.
I see what you're saying.
They kind of got screwed.
They had 161 other ones to figure it out. Right.
But it was 1-0?
It was either – you could fact-check the crap out of me.
Yeah,
on that.
See, that's what's troublesome.
It was either 1-0 or 2-1, and I think Dontrell Willis pitched for the Marlins. During our next break, I will look it up, and I won't bore you with this on air. I'll give it to Tiki off air.
But that's not the case of this Yankee game. They were dominating. Marcus Stroman got a little bit loose in the fourth inning, so this is not a 1-0
This is
Yankee
not a Yankee thing. It's just I don't think official games are fair. There's no other sport where that's allowed. Like, think about football. We hear a Giants game. What if it started lightning late third quarter and the Giants were up 14-10 and they said, can't play tonight. Giants got a victory. What would you say about that, Teague?
I'd say fantastic for the W. Where are my extra 56 yards?
How about if it was the other way? You were losing 14-10.
Yeah, then I'd be pissed.
It's my point.
Happened in the Hall of Fame game last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Stop. It's the preseason. Evan is calling from Union, New Jersey. Oh, look, Evan Neal's on hold. What's up, Evan?
Hey, nothing much. Thanks for taking my call. I was thinking about the accountability thing that Tiki was saying.
Yes. Yeah.
And I remember last year when Boone went after Gleyber Torres for his base running.
Right.
And I thought it was like the first time I saw Boone hold accountability. But then I remember Aaron Judge kind of like said something that almost trumped what Boone did. Like almost as if like I wonder how much control Boone has in the locker room. Does Judge have the lot? Like I don't know if
no,
that
I
dynamic
remember what you were saying.
About
I remember that, Evan. It was almost like Aaron Judge, King Aaron Judge, tamped it down. No, seriously. Like he made it not as big of a deal as Aaron Boone was trying to make it.
Yeah, it's funny. And thanks for the call, Evan. I think that these trade deadlines are about improving your roster. The Mets improve their bullpen. We'll see if the Yankees continue to improve. But the issues that teams face and the Yankees' overriding issue, which you addressed, is the lack of accountability, can't change with a magical trade.
No.
I think the only way it could change is if you acquired some kind of veteran player who changes the locker room. That's not something the Yankees are doing.
Yeah.
And they're not acquiring that guy.
I'm not even positive they need that. I think they have good leadership. I just don't think we're seeing it.
Right.
I just don't think it's happening. The only thing they can if they get Paul Skeens. Trade Spencer Jones. Get Paul Skeens.
Right.
And then he throws, I don't know, six complete games, almost no hitters to end the season. You don't have to worry about the fielding. That's how you do it.
Yeah, but that ain't baseball,
of course,
bro.
It's not, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Look, every team in baseball is flawed. Every single one of them, including the Holy Grail Los Angeles Dodgers. Mm-hmm. So if the trade deadline view is we have to eliminate all our flaws, you're living in a fantasy land. No one's going to do that. What you're trying to do with the trade deadline is limit your flaws.
Yes.
You're trying to fill in the blanks. When I look at the Yankees right now, besides what you said about the accountability and the lack of fundamentals and the things that have popped up basically a lot this season and certainly at the end of last year, they need more arms in their bullpen and rotation. Like, you're better if you do that.
Of course.
That doesn't mean Anthony Volpe isn't going to make a big error that comes back and haunts you, but they need better pitching. Now, I look at the Yankee needs right now, and I would put starting pitcher above bullpen help because I think, kind of like we talked about with the Mets and the Clay Holmes situation, which we'll get more into later, the Yankees acquire a starter, Cam Schlittler could become a real weapon out of the bullpen.
100%. And you trust Devin Williams despite him blowing a save last night and ultimately, does he get the win? Like, who gets the win?
No, innings later. Yeah, he was already out of the game.
Tim Hill gets the win. Yep. So, like, you trust mostly Devin Williams, Luke Weaver, who did his job last night, and then Tim Hill.
Well, and also,
like, you have your back end of your bullpen.
But remember that game.
Solid.
It is. And they could use a bullpen arm, but I remember I played that game with you last week, and the game still applies. Playoffs start today. You're a Yankee manager, Yankee fan who starts in the postseason. Mm-hmm. And right now, you only have two guys on that list in Max Fried and Carlos Rodon. Can it change with Luis Seal's return? Maybe.
I mean, Will Warren had a decent start the other day.
You're not confident starting him in a playoff game.
Of course.
Start him at home. 280 ERA at home.
It's unbelievable.
So you would start him at home. All right, that's fine.
Yeah, not going to have home field anyway. He ain't winning the division. So.
No, but my point is, would you trust him to start a playoff game?
Like, no, but I don't trust Rodon, and he's one of the two.
I get that, but that's why you need to add a starter.
But what starter? They're not going to add a starter I trust
anyway.
Who
is it? What starter is even available at this stage?
So the ones that
we have 2.5 hours?
Yeah. I don't trust Sandy Alcantara.
Well, the guys I would name, Sandy Alcantara is weird because I love Sandy Alcantara. I think he is going to come back and be a Cy Young candidate down the road.
Right.
But he's coming off Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, he had a rough start to his season.
He's pitched better recently. I don't know how many innings the Yankee medical team would feel him pitching. So Sandy Alcantara is a guy I'm interested in, but I think we need to have more of a long view on him.
Definitely.
But to answer your question, I would trust, and you want to use Will Warren as your bench since you said, I'm trusting him to start a playoff game. I'm not. I would trust Dylan Cease.
over him.
Okay.
I would trust Zach Gallen over him. I would trust Merrill Kelly over him.
Okay.
Those are all starting pitchers that we think are available.
Right.
Now, we'll see if they get traded. Maybe they won't be. I mean, the Padres are weird. Like, in one breath, they're going for it, but then they also want to trade guys away who are free agents at the end of the season. But all of those guys would be welcome addition to the New York Yankees, would they not?
Of course they would.
All of those guys you would put as the third man in the rotation, maybe higher.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Thank you.
But we said.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
I said it before and you say it again. Luis Gil. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah. I still prefer
I don't know if you can actually believe and trust in that, but that's what they're thinking.
Let's go to Nick calling from Old Bridge. What's going on today, Nick?
What's going on, guys? I understand the league's changed. Like, I read today that the kid the Padres gave up is the highest prospect traded at the deadline since 17. I get that. The Cubs traded the number one five-tool shortstop to the Yankees to get a World Series. I think Torres became a terrible defender at second base with a little bit of pop. So I'm a big trade the prospects guy. I don't know what Cashman is doing. We've been through Esteban Floreal. We've been through Andahar. We've been through Frazier. Like, what do we – Jones, call him up or trade him, man. It's that simple. Cashman, one of the most overrated guys in all of sports. I'll hang up. Listen, thanks, guys.
Appreciate you.
I get the prospect hugging and thinking most of them don't turn out. My quick answer, my drop the mic mention is Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah.
I mean, we could sit here and minimize it all day, and I get
it. But
he's
one of how many of these have been traded.
No, you're right.
You know what I mean?
More times than not, the prospects do not work out. But the other thing you've got to factor in is, who are you willing to trade the prospects for? Like, Mason Miller is a guy who's been in the league for about 5 minutes. He's not had the greatest year in the world. Yes, he throws incredibly hard. I remember, you may not even remember this, Teak. We talked about Mason Miller last year very briefly.
Yeah, I remember because he's hitting 101 every
That's right.
Every
and what pitch. Did you say? Do you remember what you said?
I don't remember what
I
said.
I remember what you said.
What did I say?
He's going to need Tommy John surgery before you know
it. Oh, I do remember that now.
Your words.
You're right. It's
and
true.
You're not wishing that on him. Nobody
of course
is.
Not. He's 26 years old.
The San Diego Padres, and in this case, our last caller wants the New York Yankees. He didn't say Mason Miller, but just in general, hey, trade the prospects. To do it for a relief pitcher who's only been in the major leagues for 2 years, who throws ungodly fast, which scares the crap out of you.
Right.
So when you say trade the prospects because of Esteban Floreal or what Gleyber Torres turned out to be, or whatever example you want to give up, who are you willing to take the risk for? Was Mason Miller as electrifying as he – was that the guy? Was it? I mean, you tell me. I'm scared. I would be very scared, and if I'm the Padres, I'd be very scared that I trade the number two prospect in baseball who could very well be the next A-Rod for a relief pitcher.
He is having a pretty good season, though. I mean, he's got 20 saves. His ERA is under 4. It's not great.
Under 4.
It's not great, but he throws heat.
Would you have traded Spencer Jones?
No,
okay,
chance.
Then you know what? That answers the point, right? Like, I think what I want Cashman to do is actually similar to what David Stearns has done. While it's cool to get controllable relievers, because then you don't have to worry about next year, I love that, they cost more. I don't want to give that up.
Mm-hmm.
So I would want to get rental relievers so it helps me win now.
Right, and what David Stearns has done is he's not gotten rid of, but he's traded away some of these, we'll call them expendable prospects. They're guys who you have redundancy on.
Yeah.
There's guys that are replaced by other guys.
That is exactly what they did.
And so you do a good job by building up your system.
I got to tell you something really funny, Teak. Do you remember the end of our show yesterday, like me and Tommy were arguing?
About?
Clay Holmes.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So yesterday we're on the air. The Mets get Tyler Rogers. Mm-hmm. Clay Holmes obviously does not have a good performance, and he's kind of proven to be a five-inning pitcher. So I say, hey, look, just the state of the Mets right now, state of the bullpen. I love the Rogers move. It is looking like it's going to make sense to move Holmes to the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
You agree. Sean's been saying it for a while, and Tommy's like, we can't do it. Gives all these reasons. We sign off. The Mets get Ryan Helsley. Everything changed in my mind. I'm like, why the hell would we move Clay Holmes to the bullpen?
No, you can't.
Their bullpen's loaded.
You don't need to.
So Tommy, without even having to lift a finger, here I come to you 24 hours later and say, you were right. No biggie.
No biggie. And the bet is still on? because Clay Holmes is still in the starting rotation. So don't make faces over there. The bet is still on. You want
to
say something?
Put something ready to concede it yesterday.
No, yeah. I think Sean's ready to say it's over.
For those that are not aware, the bet is who would have a better year, Clay Holmes or Max Fried. Obviously, Max is still well ahead in this.
Well, I'd say well ahead, but he's ahead.
You could have gotten away with some dignity. You could have salvaged some in the offseason. You went to the pen. Now you're going to lose with no dignity, and that's a tough one for you.
Well, look, your bet and your dignity, that's one thing. The state of the Mets right now, mm-hmm. just the way they're yeah. built. And that's my opinion yesterday, and that's why it's different today. I'm not flip-flopping. The Mets made a trade. The Mets don't need Clay Holmes in their bullpen.
No, you're right.
Like, he'd be a lost puppy dog. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you something else. So, Clay Holmes was shaky yesterday. A couple of things that I didn't bring up yesterday because I wanted to go deep into the weeds. It was on regular rest. He's not good on regular rest.
I think he needs six.
Yes.
So, he's like Senga.
Yes.
They need a six-man rotation,
correct.
Basically.
Oh, no, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I just want to be fair that Clay's been a better pitcher when he gets extra days. That's number one. Number two, I listen to Clay Holmes and Carlos Mendoza after the game. They are not interested in moving him to the bullpen. Clay Holmes almost sounded offended by the question.
Right.
Because it was brought up. And Mendy said, we're not even thinking about it. Now, if they were acquiring Sandy Alcantara or they were acquiring Dylan Cease, it's different. But if they're not going to do that, then I don't know if moving Clay Holmes to the bullpen makes sense. I think what you could do, and tell me if you'd like this, Tommy, because mm-hmm. it's going to ruin the bet, but it's good for the Mets.
Okay.
Call up one of the young arms and start tag-teaming Holmes and the kid to get 7 or 8 innings.
Yeah.
Where you tell Clay, just give me 4 solid.
Right.
And then you've got Brandon Sproat going the next 4.
But you don't know how Brandon Sproat or Noah McClain or any of those guys are going to – you don't know how – or Tong, Jonah Tong. You know how they're going to respond to that.
Well –
they're used to being starters.
We don't know how they're going to respond to being, you know, in the major leagues. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's always risk when that kind of stuff happens.
Right.
It's just an idea because Holmes has been struggling. There's no denying that. But the Mets have built a super bullpen, so moving him to the bullpen right now after they acquired Rogers and Helsley also doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right. Plus, with the additions they made to the pen, I think all the starters, there's less pressure to go deep now because they're elite 7, 8, 9. And then that moves Stanek down a little bit. That moves the other relievers right. down.
Just
Garrett,
think about how, yeah, just think how you feel now as a starting pitcher. Your manager is basically telling you. And I'm sure what you were alluding, kind of you know, prospecting here, Evan, mm-hmm. is actually what goes on.
Yeah.
Just give us 4 innings. Just give us 5 innings.
Yeah.
Think how like emasculating that is to a starting pitcher who probably grew up watching the CC Sabathias of the world who just took the ball and mm-hmm. every 3 days and got you a complete game.
Isn't that like when they say to NFL running backs, just give me 7 good carries?
Yeah, exactly.
It did good.
You're like, kiss my ass, coach. You better give me it 25 times.
Let's go to Chris calling from Manhattan. What's going on today, Chris?
Evan, hey, guys. Evan, I think that's a genius idea also because the younger pitchers, it's a shorter season, so they're not always used to pitching as many innings.
Right.
So you also enable them to be – I think that's a great idea. Just one
thank
thought out there.
I try.
you do. I'm still with the Mets bit. I agree. I think the bullpen's got a lot of different looks, power arms, and I think Stearns has got another move for an offensive player. It might not be someone that we even thinking about right now. But what I wanted to mention was this thing with the prospects. Like, I was looking – you can't go by the prospect ratings per team because every team has a better or worse farm system.
Like yes,
I was
correct.
Looking at Tidwell and Gilbert were evaluated now in the new team at like 9 and 11, but with the Mets, they were like 17 and 20. So, like, you got to go by the ratings, I think, on a more
I agree with you, Chris, and thanks for the call. When I brought up the rankings earlier, it was more on it. Top 100 in baseball to compare what it would have cost the Yankees to get Durant because the Phillies gave up 2 top 100 prospects to acquire him. But you're right. When you go by individual teams, you can't look at it. This is why you want to build a loaded farm system, not to just develop the players.
Mm-hmm. You hope you also do that.
You hope you do that, but it's also to trade for guys. Look, the Dodgers are the gold standard, and yes, they've developed a lot of players. They've also used those young players to trade for Trey Turner, to trade for Max Scherzer, to trade for Tommy Edman, to trade for Jack Flaherty, to make all of these freaking trades every single year. So it's a tough one, but you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. You got to know when do I cash out on the prospect to get the player that puts us over the top, and when do I say, no, I can't trade that prospect because look what it turns into. The Washington Nationals traded Juan Soto. They got back James Wood, star, C.J. Abrams, pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. Mackenzie Gore, star. Mm-hmm. Like, If the Padre fans said, I don't care about prospects, we're getting Juan Soto for a year and a half, what are they thinking about now? Look what those guys – so when we talk about, well, they're prospects, what do they turn out to be? A lot of times, nothing. Sometimes, James Wood.
Yeah. Right. Every good baseball player is a prospect.
We have a baseball trade. This is a big one. Is this the real Jeff Passantigi?
I think it's on ESPN. This is the ESPN app, not the Twitter.
The New York Yankees, I told you, are finalizing a trade to acquire closer David Bednar from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Deal is pending a medical review. Now, Sean, this is your chance to do what I do many times. You're supposed to scream, who's in the deal? Who's in the deal?
I don't care who's in the deal. Well, I care. It can't be Spencer Jones.
Of course you care.
But it is
not going to be Spencer Jones, so don't worry about it.
No, I care that the Yankees have awoken, and they are treating this seriously, and they're doing something they didn't do last year, taking the bullpen serious.
So we'll see what they gave up.
I bet you they're getting somebody else besides Bednar in this deal.
Oh, you think so? Maybe. Well, Mitch Keller would be nice, but I don't think so.
How about getting the other Rogers back in this deal now, too?
Wasn't he? Oh, yeah, who was traded to
Taylor,
him the other
Taylor,
day.
Taylor, yeah. Taylor. We Rogers. Want that twin.
The lefty. Imagine that. Imagine if both Rogers twins gets traded to New York.
Oh, that would be dope.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be awesome.
A couple of quick things on David Bednar. Number one, he is under control for next year.
Yes.
That is huge because both Luke Weaver and Devin Williams are free agents. So if this trade does go down, and it's now being reported by both Ken Rosenthal and Jeff Passan, the New York Yankees have their closer for next year. Or at least if they choose to have their closer for next year. David Bednar's had a great year. David Bednar, for some reason, and maybe Tiki can go in the weeds on this, was so bad last year, he eventually got sent down to the minors. So he's one of those relievers who I would say 80% of his career has been proven, don't worry, he's not up and down. But for whatever reason, last year he was unpitchable and lost his job. This year he's been really good, and his most of his career track record is he is one of those reliable relievers. So I like it. Obviously, we need to see what they gave up. But here's what I know. The New York Yankee bullpen is better. The New York Yankee bullpen is significantly better.
We talked about this a couple times. The arms you trust in that bullpen. There wasn't a ton of them. We had Williams and obviously Luke Weaver.
Yes.
And then Tim Hill was in there as well. But now you have four, and it feels like he slides in. He's not going to be the closer. I think Devin Williams is still the closer. But you have a choice now. You have options when it comes down to those final couple of outs.
And it also means Jonathan Loaisiga can stop throwing really important innings and throwing batting practice.
Dude, that's the best part when you acquire arms like this, it's what it does to everybody else. It takes guys who, A, are struggling and, A, don't have to pitch them, or, B, you put them in different leverage situations. It doesn't have to be the same high leverage spot. What I think is going to be interesting, and I do have a guess on what they're going to do, is do they make David Bednar feel comfortable and say, you're the closer? Or do they say, no, we have a closer, even though he blew last night's game, who, by the way, we have no loyalty to because he's been on our team for, a couple of months, in Devin Williams. How do they handle who gets the ninth inning? Does Boone give us I'll play it by year, I'll go by the matchups?
Of course that's what he's going to say.
That's what he's going to say, but then what is he going to do? Because Devin Williams is the closer of the New York Yankees.
Yeah, look, if you have a couple more games like this from Devin Williams where he goes into another rut, at least you have options and you're not sitting there going, well, we're screwed. As so many times it felt like when the Yankees had Aroldis Chapman as their closer.
Obviously, we await to find out what the Yankees gave up to get David Bednar, but your reaction, Sean, we've been on the air for less than an hour. You initially were burying Brian Cashman. You called him a lot of mean names. You said he's not going to get anything done. If I remember correctly, Teague, I think I predicted the Yankees would get a reliever, and I think it was David Bednar.
You were right. I don't know if you said David Bednar, but you did say they were going to get a reliever.
I think I did.
Evan educatedly said that after reading rumors all day online, but I just neither here nor there.
You know what I knew? Because you're right. They were linked to them for a while. It's not about that. Cashman was not leaving this trade deadline without adding a reliever. It wasn't happening.
And better than a Mark Leiter Jr. like the Yankees did last year. So I like it. Look, when you think about all the relievers that went yesterday, specifically in the National League, this is a move looking at the rest of the American League where I'm going to assume they didn't give up nearly as much, obviously, as the Twins got for Duran. And I think this is going to check out here in the American League, and this is a big boy move.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the American League. It feels like a lot of these arms have been going to the National League. Now, your division rival did get better when they acquired Shane Bieber.
Yep. Sure.
They also added bullpen help from the Orioles. Remember that whole Sir Anthony Dominguez thing? It's not even about matching Toronto. It's just about bettering your team.
Yes, farm your own land. That's all you can worry about.
And right now at 2:51, we got 3 hours before the trade deadline, the signs are there that starting pitchers are just not moving. And I don't know if it's because the price tags are too high.
I think it's the price tags.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Because think about what the Yankees just said, right? If you want our best prospect, you got to give us one of the best pitchers in baseball, even though he's still young. So that I think that's probably the same with a lot of other teams. If you want a big prospect, you got to give the best pitchers in the game.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. What we'll do is we'll take a very quick break. We'll come back. We'll get to your calls on David Bednar. We'll get the details on this trade at 888-808-1019. And then soon after that, we'll hear from Malik Nabers, Cam Scataboo, and a ton of New York Giants sprinkled in throughout this day as it is a trade deadline Thursday here on The Fan.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.